It's 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Who is American? Is it just someone who was born in this country? Do you have to be a citizen? Or is American self-determined? If you think you're American, then you are. With all the recent debates around immigration, these questions often come up. Can you be an American if you don't speak English? Do you need to pass a test to become an American? If so, are those people born here who don't understand U.S. civics and history un-American? Do you have to support the government, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights? If so, are criminals and those critical of our democratic system un-American? Why is it important in the first place that we draw a line between American and non-American? Is it to exclude people, or is it economic or political? Is this concern about being American an American thing? If a Caucasian born in America moves to China and spends the rest of his life there, is he Chinese? And if being American is so important, why do some of us feel the need to hyphenate ourselves? African American, Japanese American, Italian American. Why does our lineage matter if we were born in America? And for those who become American citizens, do they need to set aside their old culture? Can you be American and something else at the same time? Today in The Exchange, as part of our year-long series on immigration, we bring back the Socrates Exchange to examine the question, who is American? We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Our philosopher today is Max Latona. He's an associate professor in the Department of Philosophy at St. Anselm College. And Max, it's really nice to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Laura. It's great to be here again.
We also have with us a live audience here in Studio D, including students from Concord High School and from a program called With Open Minds, a multicultural camp for teens, with students from both groups representing 7 countries with us today. And welcome to all of you. Thanks for being here. Well, and Max, I outlined some of the questions that come up that are embedded in this bigger question of who is America. But just real quick, add on, if you could, are there other questions that we might want to think about this hour?
Well, Laura, I think you raised some great questions in your introduction. I'm imagining, however, if Socrates were here with us today and we asked him who is American or who is Athenian in his case, he would object. He wouldn't like the question because he would want us to clarify our terminology. He would say, how could I identify who is and who is not American if I do not know what American means or what it is? So he would ask us to explain what we mean by American. So I think one thing we might address in our discussion today is, what does this term American mean? Is it a legal designation? It tells us about our citizenship or our nationality. Or is it perhaps something more, something political, tells us about our political orientation, or perhaps even something cultural? In addition, we might ask ourselves whether it's possible to be if one person can be more American than another. Is it possible to speak of someone being a true American? If so, what is our criteria there for saying that one person is more American, say, than another? Also, we might ask ourselves, what does a person have to do, a non-American have to do, in order to become American? Is it simply, as you said, passing a test, or are there other things that they have to do? And then finally, I might add, why are we asking this question in the first place?
Right.
Is it an exercise in self-knowledge? We want to know who we are? Or, as you suggested in the introduction, are we perhaps trying to exclude? And why are we doing that? Is there important reasons for that or not? So those are some questions I think we might address in our discussion today, but I'm looking forward to hear what other people have to say.
Well, that's real interesting. So Socrates himself wouldn't even like the question, who is American? He'd say you have to ask first, what is an American?
Right.
Well, as I said, Max, this is a special program. It's a Socrates Exchange. So when you call in, I want to remind you that this is a little different from our regular exchange program. Max is not an immigration expert. He's a philosopher. And so his role with you is not to answer the questions. It's to explore this question with you through the Socratic method of asking more questions. So when you call, stay on the line with us for a while, and we'll have a dialogue with you and Max. And as I mentioned, we have a live audience here of students, and they, Max, are ready to go. So let's turn right to them. And good morning. Thanks for coming out. Give us your name, please.
Good morning. My name is Thatcher Isles from Concord High School. And just using the simple definition of American as someone who is a citizen of America, regardless of whether they were born here or immigrated here, I was wondering what you think about how an American's perception of an American differs from a non-American's perception of an American.
Well, I'm going to turn the question back to you. What do you think?
I think people living in America obviously want to make themselves seem, obviously have the most positive opinion of themselves.
Absolutely.
Because everyone wants to think highly of themselves. And I think it might vary for the rest of the world.
So how, what are, say, one or two things that you think Americans tend to associate themselves with or tend to associate on being American with? And yeah, why don't you
answer
that?
I think having an equality of opportunity and equality of treatment. So everyone's
okay.
treated equally. Everyone has equal opportunity.
Okay. Okay, good. And then how about non-Americans when they look at American and they hear that term American? What do you think I think there's
quite the spectrum from, you know, humongous excess perhaps on one hand towards maybe closer to what we feel of, you know, and then idealistic, you know, everyone has a vote, everyone has a say.
Okay, and then one final question for you. Which do you think, which perception is more accurate?
I think they all have some degree of accuracy. I think that perhaps we may have these ideals of equality. I don't know if they're fully realized. But there's also obviously these humongous excesses in our culture that, you know, perhaps some people have access to these and some people don't. So
yeah.
It is equal and not equal.
But so one final thing. So would you agree, though, that not all Americans fit into these categories?
Oh, absolutely. I think
so.
That.
So it is possible to be American without fitting into these various stereotypes.
Oh, yes.
So there's definitely something more to being American than simply what the non-American might perceive us to be, or even what we perceive ourselves to be.
Well, I think just living in America is no, just because you live in America, you obviously don't, once again, using that as the definition, you don't have to have any set sort of opinion. I mean, if you come into America, we're not going to say, oh, no, you think X, Y, and Z, you're not an American, because everyone in America thinks A, B, and C.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think anyone can say everyone in America believes a certain thing, and that is one of the things about America. You have equality, you have freedom, so you do have these freedoms to have these ideas. But I think perhaps if you were to ask everyone who lives in America the typical American ideals, I think that equality of opportunity
Now you raise another question. You suggest that somehow living in America is enough then to make you an American.
The definition that when I think of American, I think of someone who lives in America.
Okay.
Someone who is a citizen. I think, as you've said, we're much too eclectic a society for any one particular label for American.
Well, good. Thatcher, thanks for being first up with us today.
Thank
we appreciate
you very much.
It.
Yeah, well done.
Again, we've got a live audience of students here in Studio D, and we're hearing from them and taking your calls. Again, it's the Socrates Exchange today. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. We want your thoughts on this question. Who is American? And another brave audience member, Max, is with us. Go ahead. Thanks for coming out today.
Hi, my name is Batul. I'm with Open Minds, and I was born and raised in Kuwait, but originally from Iraq. I think an American is more of a cultural thing. I think someone who, I guess, contributes to the treadmill of consumption, someone who's always, I guess, buying things, because that's how it works. You're, like, always competing with other people. Everybody has the new iPod. I'm pretty sure most Americans don't only own one pair of shoes. So, I mean, that's one idea to come across of what an American is. It can go in all kinds of directions.
Wow,
Batul, so an American is someone who buys a lot of stuff.
I think so.
Wow.
So Batul, thank you for your comment. So obviously, do you think this is a negative thing?
It is definitely a negative thing. I think people need to be more, I guess, saving or like resource friendly.
Yeah. So let me ask you if I may. Do you like living in America? You appreciate it?
I do. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I have more than like five pairs of shoes. Like,
Okay. But so there are other things about America other than our consumption habits that are probably attractive to people who come to America.
Yeah. I do think so.
So just to make us feel better about ourselves here in this audience, all of us, what might one of those things be in addition to our consumption habits?
What do you mean?
Like what are some positive things that we might do as Americans?
when consuming? Or?
Well, I was thinking, I think you're probably right. We have this problem with consumption.
But other things isn't
necessarily what attracts everybody to come to America, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, everybody has this idea of America as being, like, great, huge, whatever. I mean, I came here when I was 8 years old, so my imagination was pretty wide. I thought I was going to be living in a mansion, like, 10 flights of stairs, like, going with heels on, and, like, bam, like, I don't know. I come here, and I get out of the airport in New York, and I see, like, construction. I'm like, I'm in the freaking wrong country. Like, what country is this? Like, I see trash everywhere or whatever. I mean, New York, it's, like, city, it's one area. But, like, I had a completely different idea than when I stepped in here.
Yeah. So let me ask you then, do you think that everybody, I think it was Thatcher, he suggested that everybody who lives in America, he thinks, counts as an American. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even Americans themselves, I don't know, it's a new country. Like, everybody has some kind of background from all over the world, yeah. So.
Yeah, so, okay, good. And do you think it's possible to live outside of the country, though, and be American?
And be American. Well, you have to live, I don't know, I think you have to live in the country.
At some point.
Okay.
But
Joel,
can I ask you a question? So you're born in Kuwait, you live in Iraq, now you're here. Do you feel...
No, I never lived in Iraq.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Do you feel in some way American?
To a certain degree. I mean, I have a lot of pride for where I come from, so I feel like the cultural aspect is like, I'm not. Like, I don't know, I'm hesitant because I feel like I'm not, but I am. It's like 50-50. I don't feel like I 100% belong here because I am from a different country, but then when I go back over there, I don't feel like I 100% belong there.
Wow. I've heard that from a lot of other people, too, yeah. who are in a similar situation. Max, we need to close it out and
break. One quick question for her. Do you think you'll ever feel fully American?
Probably not. I've lived that certain amount of time in Kuwait, and I feel like that's absorbed. It's like the root of my life.
Well, it's so good to have you with us today. Thank you so much for coming to the microphone. And I encourage everybody here to come on up to the mic after a short break. We'll also take your calls on the Socrates Exchange at 1-800-892-6477.
Good morning. It's 9:19 and more of the Socrates Exchange and New Hampshire's immigration story on NHPR at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, America's Agricultural Policy and the 2012 Farm Bill. New Hampshire weather today, mix of clouds and sunshine, chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs today ranging from 75 to 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, some patchy fog, lows in the 50s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs 75 to 80 degrees. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Nature Conservancy, announcing its first field guide with trail descriptions and detailed maps to help you discover and explore New Hampshire, nature.org/New Hampshire. And from Moulton Farm off Route 25 in Meredith, a farm market open daily, featuring freshly baked pies and breads, colorful annuals and perennials, and fresh produce. MouldonFarm.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's our Socrates Exchange, where we examine one question using the Socratic method of asking more questions. And today, that question is, who is American? It's part of NHPR's year-long look at New Hampshire's immigration story. Remember, we're not necessarily out to answer this question this hour, but to examine it. And helping us out with that is my co-host, Max Latona, associate professor in the Department of Philosophy at St. Anselm College. And Max, our live audience of students here in Studio D are waiting to come to the microphones. So let's turn right back to them. And good morning. Thank you for coming out.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My name is Jane Yen. I'm from South Sudan. That question is very hard to answer. But from my point of view, I believe that an American is citizens, is those who become citizens. And Americans also those who originated here and started the name America. So basically, it's kind of hard to answer because I'm not really fully, I don't think myself as American because my culture is very important to me. So
That's good. Thank you. So I think you raise a good point here. We can talk about some of our habits as Americans and the way we perceive ourselves and the way others perceive us, and those are all important. But in the end, there is this question of citizenship. And so some people are natural-born citizens, either because they're born on American soil or they're born to American parents on foreign soil, or they're naturalized citizens. They become citizens, they get their green card, and then they do certain things and I think swear an oath to uphold the laws of this country, and then they become citizens. So in the end, you have to do this thing in order to be considered a citizen, especially if you're not a citizen by birth. So let me ask you something. Have you personally gone through this process? Are you a citizen yet?
Yeah, 2 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's wonderful. And do you remember having to swear some kind of oath of some sort when you became a citizen?
Yeah, I remember me and my dad, we went there basically, and we had to stand up and swear an oath to it. So, yeah.
And it's something to do with upholding the laws of the United States, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you then, is it the case that all people in America, even those who don't uphold the laws, or perhaps people who don't like our Constitution or our government, do you think they count as Americans?
I believe if you think yourself as American, then you are American, basically.
Okay.
If I'm thinking, like, to be an American, American people have to accept you. Like, they have to basically be like, oh, like accepting a new friend, basically. You can't, make friends if they don't accept you. So that's how I feel like to be an American. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you one other question. So you come from South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like there, but let's suppose one of us, an American, went to South Sudan and we lived there for 10, 20 years. Would other people see us as South Sudanese? Would we be able to identify ourselves as South Sudanese?
Well, I think that, okay, if you come to my country, well, I see yourself, oh, a newcomer. So basically, it's how you adapt to the new system. So.
Okay. Yeah. Right, because I think what's exceptional about America is, in some ways, it doesn't matter what you look like, what you believe, mm-hmm. what your ethnicity or what your race is. Everybody is American.
Yep.
But I'm wondering if that's exceptional. If we went to, say, China or Sudan or Germany or anywhere else, would it be the case that you would be accepted automatically as a Chinese or Sudanese or German just by, you know, taking the oath that you described earlier?
Well, I believe people are afraid of differences and they're afraid of changes. So, well, it's like I said, it's how you see yourself basically and how the society basically accepts you. So,
right. So society might not accept you,
but
it is possible for you to see yourself in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jane, I'm actually interested in something you said too. And again, thanks for being with us. You kind of seem to say that being American involves a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you feel.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I got my citizenship, and the American people say I'm a new American now. That's the term we use here for immigrants and refugees. But, I don't really consider myself an American because I haven't really adapted to the system yet, the law. And I think for you to be American, you have to know the law and fully, adapt to it, relive yourself, renew your life again to be fully an American and to call yourself original American. So that's what I think of American, who is American. So.
Well, congratulations on your citizenship.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it. Our phone number here on the Socrates Exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Join us. What do you think about this question? Who is American? Let's hear from you, 1-800-892-6477. And Max, let's go to a caller next. Nagesh is joining us from Chelmsford, Mass. Go ahead, Nagesh, you're on the air. What do you think of the question? Who is American?
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Nice talking to you. I actually came from India, and I've been here for the last 6 years now. I had a completely different opinion when I came here first, and in fact, before coming here. So, who is an American? I always thought an American is I used to consider founding fathers actually. So, a person who is working hard, who is knowledgeable, who is willing to go any extent to make his life better. And make his lifestyle better all the time. So I always thought an American as that person initially before coming here. So, and I also thought it's a land of opportunity and equality, like everybody has equal opportunity of becoming successful. However, over the 6 years after staying here, so my opinion has changed a little bit. I feel America is more of a land of excess. And I don't think it's an equal opportunity, even though we brag a lot about ourselves saying it's an equal opportunity. Because I see a lot of negative bias towards the immigrants, like the immigrants do not have equal opportunity as compared to other citizens over here.
So, Nagesh, who is an American? How would you answer that question?
I honestly feel 100% American is only the person who has already lived here 2-3 generations. So, not the people who are naturalized here, or not even the first generation immigrants are not Americans. That's what I feel right now.
Wow, 2-3 generations. That's a pretty high standard.
Yeah, because there is still a lot of inequality among the people who naturalized over here.
Nagesh, let me ask you. So, what is it that a person who has only been here 10 years lacks that a person who's been here for several generations has? What is it that you need to get in order to be considered a true American in your mind?
I feel it's the acceptance in the culture. Like, so I have been here since 6 years. I have a lot of my American friends, and I go out with them. So we hang out around and a lot, but I rarely get invited to their homes and be a part of their culture and share the important festivals over here with them, meet with their family members. So I don't get that a lot, even after staying six years over here. But I can tell you my own example from the country where I come from. So.
Sure.
Because when I was doing my undergrad in my country, we had a lot of foreigners coming from different countries, and acceptance rate is very high. Whenever, even though somebody come from other country in India, we always welcome them home, we introduce them to our family members, we involve them in all our festivals over there. So, and I don't see that being happening a lot over here. There's naturally, even the nationalized people are treated separate than the regular citizens.
Let me jump in for a moment, Nagesh. You said a moment ago that you think that people who've been here for a longer period of time are truly more American because they're accepted by the society or culture around them. And I want to press you a little further on that. What determines cultural acceptance? What do you think makes a person more accepted by the community around them in the end? Is it their habits, the way they speak, the way they dress, the way they eat, their cultural habits, so to speak, or something else?
Yeah, it's more of the habits, the way they speak, the topics they discuss, and mainly the cultural aspects they share. So, somebody who has been here for several generations, so they almost left their old traditions, cultures, and they've been completely embraced the American culture or American tradition. So when you you speak, you change your habits. You have a different topics of discussion. So that's what I think really makes you completely involved and makes the citizens to embrace that and get them involved.
Thank you, Nagesh. I think you raise an important question about an American tradition and American habits. I'm curious to see if anybody else will have anything to say about what those are.
Nagesh, thanks for calling in. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. It's the Socrates Exchange today, and the question we're pondering with you is, who is American? Max, let's go to another audience member. Good morning. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks. I'm Sharon Eng from Bow. I was born in America, but I've lived more than half of my adult life overseas. Mm. And so I'd like to address that point about geography and being an American. Just like the fish doesn't know it lives in water until it's outside the bowl, you really don't know what it is to be an American until you're away from America. And I happen to live in Hong Kong, went there in 1989 when Hong Kong was going to be transitioned to Chinese control. So people were very anxious to get another passport because the British government wasn't giving passports to Hong Kong people. There were daily ads in the paper about how to get passports in different countries. And if you're coming to America, you can't buy your way in like you could to all the other countries. So that was one difference. I realized a lot of things about myself when I lived overseas that gave me American characteristics. And then when we had a family and we were raising our children, we had a concern about what would their perception be of Americans having been born overseas and raised overseas, and particularly in a post 9/11 environment, there's a very anti-American attitude frequently overseas. So you can't, in fact, you're very American when you're overseas too. One of our favorite things to do with our friends was share American traditions. Thanksgiving at our house would easily be 50 people, and everybody said, Thanksgiving was one of the best things about America.
Could I follow up with a question?
Sure.
So you were in Hong Kong for a good period of your life. You said roughly half your life. And you really got a sense of what it meant to be American, or a little bit more of what it meant to be American when you lived there. I'm wondering, what is it that you realized about yourself or about what it means to be American while you were living there in Hong Kong?
Well, I know when I first came to Hong Kong, I thought I always knew the right way to do things. It was the American way. And my job was to teach everybody else how to do the right way.
They didn't take offense at this?
I think I had to adapt myself a little bit.
Okay.
Because that's the hard-charging American view. In a social situation, you can tell all the different ethnic groups by their behavior.
Interesting.
So who is an American, Sharon? Someone who's obnoxious? Is that what you're saying?
No, because the other thing is, in the old days, the Gap ads, that was quintessential American. Blue jeans and the T-shirt kind of thing. Sort of that there's a little bit of vintage, but there's a little bit of modern to it. But Americans can be very... In their home country, are very accepting of other cultures. We want to learn about others, but we don't usually go out to venture so much. And a Canadian put it very well to me, too. They describe Canada as a mosaic where the different ethnicities stay in their places. But in America, it's a melting pot. We lose part of that overseas identity because it all comes together as part of our amalgam.
Yeah. Well, Sharon, I just want to press you on one thing here. One thing that we haven't talked about much at all. We've talked about Americans, you know, the way we treat other cultures, the way we look or dress, and the Gap ad, perhaps the way we speak. I'm wondering, what about our political system? Isn't that an important part of American identity, that we have a unique form of self-governance that, you know, it's government by the people, for the people? Was that part of your identity at all when you were living in Hong Kong, that you were a part of a democratic nation of that sort? Or no, not much?
Well, you know, for me, politically, the way I thought I knew what it was like to be an American until I came back. And that's when I realized how much things had changed. And for me personally, the political environment is one of the things I like least about the way that things have changed.
You know, Sharon, can I ask you one last more question? And all these stories are just so fascinating to me. So if you lived half your life in Hong Kong, did you ever feel Chinese?
My father is half Chinese, but I don't look Chinese because I had a blonde hair, blue eyed mom too. I will never be Chinese.
Oh, interesting.
Just because of the way you look.
Some people will think that I'm Chinese, especially if I wear sunglasses. If I'm speaking Chinese, they may think I'm Chinese. But in my heart, I'll never be Chinese. I'm an American.
That's well, it's great to hear from you, Sharon.
Thank you so much
for coming out with us today. And you can join us by phone as well at 1-800-892-6477 on the Socrates Exchange. And Anna in Manchester is with us next. Hi, Anna. What do you think of the question? Who is American?
What do I think of the question? Well, first of all, I just want to say hi to everybody at With Open Minds, because I used to intern there, and I was sad I couldn't be there this morning. But I think is that... I think, like, similar to what the person previously was saying, is that being American or being identified with any culture is really a personal choice, just like being a Democrat or a Republican. And, for example, like she said, she'll never feel Chinese, but however, it's very easy to see why someone else in her shoes might identify as being Chinese. Just like I lived in America my whole life, and my parents, my father's from Germany, but my mother grew up here. But I identify strongly with my Polish heritage, and I called my grandparents Babci and Jaku, and we eat pierogi and kielbasa all the time, and everybody at family reunions speaks Polish. And if you ever try to tell anyone in my family that they're not Polish, like they will fight you on that tooth and nail, even though we all live here.
I won't say that when I come to your house.
That's very funny.
Go ahead, Max.
I have a similar experience. I have Polish heritage as well, and they would say the same. But I guess I want to ask you, why is it so important to you, someone who's lived in America their entire life, to identify with your Polish heritage as well? Is it the case that being American is not enough?
It's not enough. If my ancestors had like been here, if I was Native American, this is where my roots were. Then absolutely, I would be, you know, like, oh yay. But I just, that's where my family comes from. That's where my roots are, and that's why I identify, because that's what mine is. And I don't think that it's necessarily a mutually exclusive thing, that like you can't be American and be something else. Like that's, you can be multiple things and identify multiple ways, and that's okay.
Yeah, but somehow identifying yourself as Polish American says something important about who you are, that's somehow missing, I guess, when you just say that you're American. And that's curious, because I'm thinking in other countries around the world, say in Poland, that's probably more rare, right? People just identify themselves as Polish. But here in America, we're constantly associating ourselves with our, you know, native ethnic roots, which is interesting. So let me ask you another question, and you did begin this by saying that it's a matter of personal perception or something along those lines.
Right.
What if someone is here illegally in the United States? That is to say, the government does not recognize them as American citizens. Do you think that they're still American in some important way?
I think if that's how, if they're choosing to make a life here and that like in like a long-term thing, and it's not just like I'm coming to like, you know, like work for a little bit and then I'm going to go home and I identify from whatever country I came in. If they're planning on making a life here and they're in some way obviously not participating in terms of, you know, like taxes
government,
and that kind of thing. Right. But in terms of like, because they do contribute to the fabric of American society, like they're an important part of like the infrastructure that kind of keeps our society going the way it's going. And so they absolutely, I think, if they choose to identify as American and are American, because
that's a remarkable statement you just made. They may be illegal and not citizens, but they're still American.
Well, okay. Anna, thank you very much for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take more of your calls after a very short break. You can join us on the Socrates Exchange, 1-800-892-6477. We'll be right back.
The last 200 years of New Hampshire's immigration story affects us all.
The history of New Hampshire can't really be told without the story of immigration and refugees, because except for Native Americans, that's what we all are.
I'm Keith Shields. Join me for a one-hour special about the history of our state and the role immigration has played throughout. New Hampshire's immigration story is our story, Friday at noon on NHPR.
Made possible in part by the New Hampshire Humanities Council.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Southern New Hampshire Medical Center and Foundation Medical Partners, working together to design healthcare around you where you live and work, snhhs.org. And the Fenton Family Dealerships, Toyota, Volvo, Honda, Subaru, and Hyundai of Keene, treating the needs of each individual customer with singular concern. FentonDealerships.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today it's the Socrates Exchange, and the question we're pondering this hour, who is American? Max Latona is here from St. Anselm College, and we're taking your thoughts at 1-800-892-6477. We also have a live audience with us here in Studio D, students from Concord High School and the Kingston-based diversity camp called With Open Minds. And Max, let's go right back to our audience, and thanks for being here. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Suraj, and I'm from Concord High. So basically what I think who is American is the native people who were born here and the immigrants who left their home and just came to America to live forever. And the people who got citizenship and voting rights and all, and will vote for the president and all. That's what I think is American.
Okay, so having certain privileges or rights, whether you're born here or you come here and are naturalized as a citizen, are essential to being American. So, Yeah, this is something we hadn't heard yet, and this is the first time I'm hearing it, that participating in this political process, this great experiment in democracy that is the American experiment, that is essential, quintessential in your mind to being American. So if you can't vote because you only have, a visa, or you're illegal, that means you're not really American in your mind.
That's why we use our term, the new American term, because I've been here in this country for like 6 months, and I don't even have a green card. So the term we use for us is the new American term. So that's what we call ourselves.
Okay, but do you think it's possible for a person to be born from American parents, in, say, living in Germany or in India or Nepal, and never spend any time in American soil or vote for president or exercise any of those rights and privileges? Is it possible for them to still be American?
It may be possible, but I don't believe it's right, because if you don't live in this country, you don't know anything about this country, so you don't have the right to vote.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So being American is not something you just inherit with your genetic type.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Siraj, if I could ask you, so you said you've been here 6 months. Did you come as an immigrant or a refugee?
I came here as a refugee.
Yeah, so that means you were placed here because you were escaping, you know, war or persecution. The State Department said, you're going to New Hampshire, Siraj, and here you are, and welcome, by the way. How does that affect your thoughts about who is American? Someone like you who had to leave, maybe didn't want to, but had to.
What you mean?
How does your own personal experience as a refugee affect your own feelings about who is an American?
I feel like Americans are like people who are very strong. Like, like the America is like one of the most powerful countries in the world. Everybody knows that. So, what I feel is like when I was in Nepal, when I was in Nepal, I thought that when I go to America, I'll be like so good, and I'll be like so powerful as Americans.
Some of that power will rub off, huh?
Yeah, as the power comes up my hand. So that's what I thought.
So, Siraj, do you feel American?
I feel American because I don't feel like I'm like complete American, but I feel like I'm new American, so kind of like middle.
Excellent. Thank you, Siraj.
Yes, Siraj, thank you for joining us. Again, our audience here in Studio D is comprised of students from Concord High School, also just some listeners and supporters of NHPR, and students from a diversity program called With Open Minds. And let's go, Max, now to another member of our audience. Good morning, sir. Thanks for being here.
Hi, my name is Wing from Bow, New Hampshire. I want to address the issue of illegal, being here illegally. My grandfather came here in the 20s Basically, he bought somebody's legal document and came to the U.S. to work. And it wasn't until the 60s when he declared to the U.S. government that, well, he'd been here as a good citizen for 40 years, that the U.S. government finally recognized him as an American. Now, I was naturalized in the 70s, 80s.
Okay.
And for me, being an American is the... It truly is the land opportunities. As an immigrant, poor, I was able to go to Ivy League University, got my MBA from top 20 university, and worked pretty well for American companies, both here and overseas.
Hmm. So, as far as illegal immigrants, then let's go back to your father. I suspect you're saying that your father was an American even before he was recognized by the government as an American. He'd been here 40 years. He'd perhaps raised a family. It was your grandfather?
My grandfather.
Yeah. Well, raised a family, worked in the community, still American.
The interesting thing, though, was that because of the Chinese Exclusion Act, he was not allowed to bring his family over. So he was here 40 years by himself.
Wow.
He just went back to China every few years.
So, Huang, let me ask you now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you're an American?
Oh, definitely.
Good.
Sharon's my wife, and we actually lived back in Hong Kong for 16-plus years. And whenever I come across business associates, they can tell me that I'm an American.
Okay, very good.
Because of the way I dress, because of the way I talk, because of my attitude towards how I solve problems.
Yeah. Let me ask you now to just reflect on our whole conversation, Huang. Do you think it's an important question to ask, what does it mean to be an American, or who is American? And if so, why, or perhaps why not?
It's important because I think there are a lot of problems in America, and it's people who identify themselves as Americans that will solve the problem. Unlike the Google founder who decided to renounce his citizenship and go to Singapore, he's not an American.
Yeah.
Both legally, but also more what he identified himself with.
If I could ask you a question, too, and again, thanks for being here. So your grandfather wanted to work so hard to be here, wanted to be here so hard, so much that he came here, worked very hard, even though illegally. They want to be here so badly that they'll break the law to do so. Are these the ones, do you think, Huang, that we question their Americanness the most? And should we do so?
I don't believe so, because I truly believe that both my grandfather, my father, myself, have contributed to the American society.
And if they've contributed, therefore they are Americans.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming to the microphone this morning.
Thank you.
Let's take a call, Max. Up next is Gordon from Hollis. Hi, Gordon. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the Socrates Exchange. What do you think? Who is American?
Well, I think to be an American, I think you have to be an American citizen in order to participate, you know, and help run the country or whatever. I mean, a little background here. My wife and I emigrated some 60 years ago from England and to Texas. We were wonderfully well treated. I never met such kindness. We've had a wonderful life. And I think the great virtues, and I think what makes America, is there's a willingness to accept you for what you are. Your social position doesn't really matter. It's what you can do. And I just, well, we've had a wonderful life, and that's it.
Yeah, Gordon, thank you. Your comments in some ways are directly opposed to what Huang said, insofar as you argue you must be a citizen in order to be American. And then you also said, you know, you have to participate in government. It seems to me those are probably two different things. You could be recognized as a citizen and not participate at all, which many Americans unfortunately do. What do you think about that? Is it possible to be fully American and not participate in the government, even though you're a citizen?
No, I don't think so. I think you have to take your part, do your share in the community and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but that would include exercising your right to vote and...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Huh.
Because then you are part of the country that you've adopted.
I like what you say, but I want to challenge you a little bit more. So America is also the land of freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of expression. What if I express my opposition to the government? I say I'm not going to vote. I don't like this government. In fact, I don't even like democracy at all. And this whole Bill of Rights thing, it's a silliness. In other words, what if you express a view that is directly opposed to the foundational principles of America? What about that?
Well, I think I'd be very quickly told to go back where I came from.
But you're an American citizen. You don't have to.
Yes.
Right? You know, I've got a question for you too, Gordon, and thanks again for calling. It is interesting to get your thoughts. Do you think you've had an easier time being accepted as an American by Americans because of your skin color? I'm assuming you're white.
Yes, yes. Well, I don't know. All I can say is that we were wonderfully treated, and I feel an enormous sense of gratitude.
Well, thank you so much, Gordon. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. It's the Socrates Exchange. We're asking the question, who is American? Max, let's go to another member of our audience. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm Aziz. I'm from Concord High School. On the thoughts about, like, who is an American, I believe, like, everyone who believes, like, they are, then they are. Because, like, it doesn't matter, like, if you have citizenship or, like, if you're just a permanent resident or just been here for, like, a month or so. If you, like, feel completely accepted in the culture, if you feel like you deserve to be an American, then you are. And basically, like, about the citizenship thing, even if you have, like, citizenship over here, but, like, if you don't consider yourself an American, then it's a choice. Like, yeah. You can be or you can't be.
Yeah. Okay, Aziz. So this is an interesting point. And some people earlier in their discussion emphasized this, that it is a matter of self-perception. Mm-hmm. But Huang and Gordon both said something I think that was important, that they suggested that participating, whether it's just participating in your community, as Huang suggested, or, as Gordon said, participating in the political system, they think participating is really important to being American. What do you think about that?
Well, like...
In other words, is it enough to just sit on your rear end and think of yourself as American and be American?
Well, what are the responsibilities?
That's right. Do you need to exercise your responsibilities
and
obligations?
It depends upon like people's view, like what they think. And it says like I kind of like study the civic test thing.
Yep.
And it says like what's the rights of American and like the duty of them theirs. And kind of like to vote for president and like participate in like community activities and stuff like that. I think it is kind of important to be an American, but it doesn't really matter like if you think yourself like you are. So
okay,
yeah. That gets back to what you said earlier, Max, about Socrates would have said, "Why do we even need to ask this question?"
That's right, and I still think he would be disappointed with us that we haven't fully defined what American means, but we're making progress.
All right, let's take one more call if we could. Thank you, Essies, for joining us today. Next up is Cynthia from Winchester. Hi, Cynthia. You're on the Socrates Exchange. Go ahead on the question. Who is American?
I think everyone who has been born in America, and that includes people from Puerto Rico. I was born in Puerto Rico. As long as I live in Puerto Rico, I cannot vote for president. But if I move to the States, I can.
So Puerto Ricans can't vote for president. I didn't know that.
No, we don't have a senator, so therefore that would be taxation without representation.
Yeah, I knew that you didn't have a voting representative in Congress, but I didn't know about the presidential thing. Go ahead, Max, and get philosophical
Cynthia. Well, I think this is interesting, and I don't know much about immigration law, but I do know there's a distinction between what they call jus soli and jus sanguinis. Jus soli refers to right of soil. People who are born in our country are automatically American citizens, and I think that's what you're emphasizing. But there is also this other side of it, jus sanguinis, right of blood. This idea that you could be American simply by being born to an American parent, even though you weren't born on this soil. And I'm wondering, do you really disagree?
But Puerto Rico is American soil.
No, I wasn't disagreeing with you, but you suggested that in the beginning you have to be born on American soil, whether it be Puerto Rico or, you know, in the 50 states, in order to be American. But couldn't I be born in France to an American parent and be American?
Certainly, I think so.
Okay, so it is possible to inherit it through your parentage.
Right. In fact, my four daughters were born in Africa. They are all American citizens, but they were born in Africa.
Are they living in America now?
They're living in America now, yeah. Yes.
So let me ask you then.
Although one of them was born in the clinic at the embassy. So she was born on American soil, and we always kid her that she could be president.
Cynthia, it's interesting. You're Puerto Rican. Sometimes Latinos are the ones whose Americanness are challenged, even if they are born in Puerto Rico or in one of the other U.S. territories. What do you think? How do people in those U.S. territories who aren't full-fledged, don't have full-fledged statehood, how do they feel about this question, who is American?
Well, I think most of them are glad to be American, but of course it's a political thing. I mean, every so often they come up with having to vote whether they want to continue to be American. And even though there's a small contingent that wants independence, I don't think that's very likely to come about because we're very dependent on the United States.
Well, Cynthia, it's really good to have you on the Socrates Exchange. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
I think that's all the time we have, Max, for calls and our wonderful audience members. And, Max, I want to thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you, Laura.
That's Max Latona, an associate professor in the Department of Philosophy at St. Anselm College. I also want to thank our live audience here in Studio D. Again, students from Concord High School and the Kingston-based diversity camp called With Open Minds. I loved your questions and thoughts, so thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Hampshire Public Radio. Our series on New Hampshire's immigration story is made possible by the New Hampshire Humanities Council and the Norwin and Elizabeth Bean Foundation. Now, special thanks today to Alexander Urbanowski, Beth Zelog, Nick Wolos, Sherry Nixon, Andrew Perella, R.J. Perkins, and Becky Cates. Tomorrow, our year-long series on New Hampshire's immigration story wraps up with a one-hour documentary by our executive producer, Keith Shields. So be sure to join us for that very special broadcast at noon on Friday. Again, noon on Friday, a documentary on New Hampshire's immigration story by Keith Shields. The exchange engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. We have two interns, Samantha Johnson and Tim Camerato. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. The Exchange is now on Facebook. You can become a fan of our Facebook page, learn more about upcoming shows, get extra links and material. Thanks again, everyone, for being with us. I'm Laura Kanoy. Thank you.